Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy Brim's back. She's turned on as usual, so don't miss this.
Bless the
Lord.
Welcome,
Billy.
Hallelujah. You know who turns us on? The Holy Ghost.
Yes, amen.
And we're going to talk today about when I first... Well, of course, I was born of the Spirit when I was about 7 years old, but I was filled with the Spirit in 1967.
That was a big year.
Oh, my goodness. And I want to start with this scripture because we've been talking last week and this, and you can go back on the archives and watch it. We're talking about spirit, soul, and body, that man is a spirit, an inner man. Mm-hmm. He has a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and he lives in a body. Bless the Lord. You sure do have a pretty house to live in, Gloria.
Oh, really? Thank
you. Yes, bless the Lord. And so we all came into contact with a teacher, a prophet and a teacher, mm-hmm. Kenneth E. Hagin, in 1967.
And we were very different in 1967.
We weren't. You wouldn't have recognized us. No, you wouldn't have. My children see pictures and they say, "You look better today."
Thanks,
for one thing, I couldn't afford very good clothes, and well, we're not going there. We're not going there.
Okay.
But from Kenneth E. Hagin, I learned this truth, which the Bible says it has to be rightly divided. You have to rightly divide between spirit. You have to rightly divide between the Jews, the nations, and the church. Which mm-hmm. Who's he talking to in those scriptures? But another thing you have to rightly divide is spirit, soul, and body. You have to know that man is three parts. And we learned that from Kenneth E. Hagin. And this is the verse that we learned from him. I use it almost every day of my life. It's my insurance policy. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's a good daily scripture.
Faithful is he that calls you, who also does it, is the way I say it.
Hallelujah.
So I am, when I say that every single day, he's the God of peace, he's the God of wholeness, and he is keeping my spirit whole.
Yes.
My soul whole, my mind, my will, and my emotions whole.
Amen.
And my body whole.
That's good. I like
spirit, soul, and body. That is, I have written right down in my Bible, my insurance policy. There it is, right there. And then it says, faithful is he that called you, who also does it. He called me. He called me to the ministry. And that's what I'm going to talk about today.
Good. We want to hear it.
And understanding spirit, soul, and body set me free to do it. Because the denomination I went to said women can't do it.
Yeah.
Women can't preach. Women have to be silent in the church. Brother Hagin said, well, the very denominations that preach it don't practice it. The women are talking all the time. If it was really be silent, you never could say a word. You couldn't teach. They had this denomination. They had women teaching over in the juniors, you know, Sunday school class. But no, never could you come up there. Well, they sang. They sang solos.
If you had to be silent.
But you had to, if that, so anyway, we're going to talk about that is exactly.
That's an interesting observation.
Yes, and no women are silent in that denomination, I can tell you for sure.
You do not have to worry about that any longer.
No. So anyway, we came into this ministry of Kenneth E. Hagin. He brought us there.
Yes,
he brought Gloria and Ken there. He brought them all the way from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And then came through ORU. Ken was a freshman at ORU, 1967. You're a wife and mother.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, were you still cooking your potatoes in a coffee pot or not?
I think I was. I think I had a stove there or some kind of a cooking element besides the coffee pot.
You had a table that Ken made in shop.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so anyway.
Stunning piece.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. So in 1967, there was a meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 1029 North Utica.
And we had no idea, did we?
That Kenneth E. Hagin, Papa and Mama Goodwin, were there teaching denominational people about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. It was sweeping. It was a charismatic move. And I mean, it was sweeping across denominational people across this world.
all around the world. If you've never been in a move like that, you hardly know how it catches everybody and catches them up and gets them.
Oh, so boy, it caught us.
It caught
we
us.
We didn't miss a moment.
Praise
of
the
it,
Lord.
I was
so that meeting at 1029 North Utica, Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, he was 49 at the time, tall and slim. And he had had a vision from God that you can read about in a book called I Believe in Visions. And the Lord showed him a great flower garden. In fact, he was in the middle of the flower garden with Jesus. There was a river flowing into it, and the river changed to people. And he saw them from all walks of life, in all kinds
Didn't
of dress.
Didn't that come to pass?
Oh, and the Lord said, those are denominational people. Those are ones you call denominational people. And I'm bringing them in to the baptism and the fullness of the Holy Spirit.
I don't believe there was such a word as charismatic back there then.
Well, it kind of developed.
Describing people, do you? Like a group?
Well, it began to be called that because charisma means gifts. And so they began to call us charismatics because we moved in the gifts. But actually, when God showed him this vision, there was no word like that.
Yeah.
And he saw these people in this river coming in to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit and walk in the fullness of the Spirit. And the Lord told him, meet them on neutral ground. The Pentecostal churches had always had an idea that the denominational people were going to come to them, but the Lord told Brother Hagin, meet them on neutral
ground.
And
at that time, all the meetings were in churches.
Yes. So Brother Hagin... He got this meeting at his little office, brand new office, 1029 North Utica. He moved back the office desks, put in some chairs, and 150 people could cram jam in there.
Mm-hmm.
And God got you there from Texas.
That's
and,
right.
And he got me there, not so far away a distance, but kind of far away spiritually. And what had happened to me, I had been called to preach as a child, knew I was called to preach. Used to go to my grandmother's house. I lived on a farm. But when I'd go to the city where she lived in apartments, and I'd gather up all the kids and I'd preach to them. And I just knew I was called to preach. My grandmother knew I was called to preach, but my denomination said that you can't preach.
Well, I'll just tell you the truth. I had no clue I was called to preach.
You had no clue, and you had no denomination telling you you couldn't.
No, I wasn't in a denomination.
So, I did. I had it, and I wanted to do it. I did everything I could do. Growing up, I don't want to tell you about all that, but I did all I could do. But then, when it came time to go to college or whatever, I couldn't. I saw that our missionaries over in China, they could preach,
mm-hmm.
and in Africa, but not in the United States. I didn't know why, but so I thought, well, maybe I'm be a missionary. But I never did get that call at that time. So I married Kent, my husband. I moved to a town, a new town. I married my husband, my high school sweetheart, very handsome Cherokee.
Mm-hmm.
And he had no idea he was marrying a woman with a call to preach.
No.
We didn't discuss it. No. And so then we had four children really fast. The oldest, by the time I was 24, I had four children under the age of 5 and a half. And my husband,
my word.
Yes, and they asked Kent,
y'all are busy.
Yeah, they said, are you Catholic? And Kent said, no, we're passionate Baptists. So
that's a good answer.
So we had our children. I'm glad we did. We grew up with them. We had lots of fun. And but we moved to a new town. We moved to Collinsville, Oklahoma. And I had laid all that on the shelf. I still went to church every Sunday. I was very religious. I still taught youth choirs. I still taught Sunday school lessons. I did everything, but I never. And I was like stagnant and dry. And so then the Holy Ghost started agitating me, worry-warting me, you know? Like that woman with a pencil with Ken, worry-warting me.
Yeah.
And I got a book, Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Diary. And our diary secrets, spiritual secrets, I read that. I came under the move of the Spirit, the conviction of the Spirit, really. And there was a girl in our town that we'd gone to college with, and we kind of ran around with him. And he was a football coach, and she called me, and she said, you and Kent go to church, don't you? Yes. I want to go with you. I want to sing in the Christmas cantata. She said, I've never been in a church except for funerals where I sang. She had a beautiful voice. Well, it's hard to get in the Christmas cantata. I mean, she called me, it was like November. You're supposed to have been a faithful choir member all the year. But I was the pianist, so I had a little bit of draw. So I got her into the Christmas, got her into the Christmas cantata, and she got born again, and her children.
Praise God.
And I went under deep conviction, deep. Because here I am, I know you're supposed to witness, I know you're supposed to bring people to the Lord. I've been knowing her for years. I never once even questioned if she knew God or not.
Condemnation.
Yep, right. And so anyway, I was really in a tender state. And she called me one day and she said, "You know what I'm going to do next?" I said, "What are you going to do next, Pat?" She said, "I'm going to receive that baptism with the Holy Spirit and speak with tongues." I said, "Oh, no, you're not. That is of the devil." She said, "Well, what is it doing in the Bible?" I said, "Well, I don't know, but give me some time and let me find out." She said, "I'll give you 3 weeks." So I got into these scriptures, which I had read before because we read all through the Bible. I didn't have an answer for her, but I had seen the charismatic move was going. This is 67. And our denomination was losing a lot of people. And so the denominational paper had come out with headlines, "Speaking with tongues is of the devil." Now, that's all I read. I didn't read the whole article, just that. So from that misinformation, I gave her misinformation. So then I'm in the Bible and I'm real tender now and the Holy Ghost is dealing on me and I'm reading about tongues. I don't have any answers. I get a telephone call from Allie Hunniger. Mm-hmm. You know, Allie and Doc, he's a doctor there in our little town, 2,500 people in Collinsville, Oklahoma. And Allie said, "Mrs. Brim, I'd like to visit you." I didn't really know her. I'd seen her at church. And so she came over and I cleaned my house all up, you know, doctor's wife coming.
Yeah, important.
Important in our town. And high up in the social scale. So I went to the door, and there she stood. Allie was a tall, thin woman, and she had this huge Wallensack recorder balanced on her knee. She's hunched over trying to hold it. I bet it weighed 80 pounds.
Those things were big.
And so she came in my house, walked through the parlor, walked to our little living room, and put it down on the coffee table, which was a really strong one. And she said, "I came to play a tape for you." She could have been talking.
A tape?
What in the world? She could have been talking Svengali or I don't know whatever. I never heard of anybody playing a tape for you. People didn't play tapes for you. They didn't play tapes. They didn't have tapes. And so she put that thing down, and it was a 7-inch reel tape, and she put that on my coffee table, and she wound it up, and she punched play. And here I hear this voice, this Texas voice. And this man is talking about how much God loves us. From the 17th chapter of John, in the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus said that God loves us as much as He loves Him. And it was called the Father's Care. God loves us as much as He loves Jesus. And here I am, I'm all under conviction. I'm in this state where I'm not making any progress at all, and the Holy Ghost has been working on me. I got down on the floor by that tape, like this. And I'm crying. And she said, "Mrs. Brim, don't you think before you tell Mrs. Martin the baptism with the Holy Spirit is of the devil, you should know more about it." I said, "Well, yes, I really should."
Good
idea. And so she said, "Well, this man is having a seminar next week." The Holy Ghost had set me up for that seminar. And so it was April 1967, beautiful spring. So she took me, Mrs. Martin, and a deacon's wife in our church, and every day for a 10-day seminar, morning and night, we went over to 1029 North Utica, and there was Brother Hagin. And there he was, opening the Word of God, meeting these denominational people from the book of Acts.
Now, we were in that meeting.
You were in that meeting. You and Ken were there. You lived in Tulsa by that time, but I didn't know you, of course. But I saw Ken, because Ken would get up every once in a while and sing a psalm.
Yeah.
And which was strange to me. But anyway, we sat there and we heard every day.
We were being gathered.
And every single day, he went to the Word of God. and he taught about the baptism with the Holy Spirit, taught about the Holy Ghost, taught about speaking with tongues. So by day five, I am convinced. And I have written a book recently.
You decided it wasn't of the devil.
Yeah. I've written a book which says, it's entitled How You Can Pray in the End of Days, and it kind of has my prayer biography in it. And so on the last day, I got it. And following that morning session, we went into a small room in the back, and Kenneth and Aretha Higgins laid hands on Pat Martin, Renona Standridge, and me. I went off like a fountain. I had these words bubble up in me. Pat Martin said, I don't think it's fair. I only got two or three words. I said, well, that's because I've been born again 20 years, and my spirit knew this was the next step. And so I spoke in tongues, I sang in tongues, and I called my mother, and I gave her the good news. Now, to mother, it wasn't a very good news. I said, oh, mother, it's in the Word. You've brought me up on the Word. When I see you, I'm going to give you this Word. But mother, I'm not going to get mixed up in these Pentecostals' error. I'm just going to take their truth. I'm not going to wash off all my makeup. I'm not going to let my hair grow long and go in a bun. And mother, I promise you, I will not listen to any women preachers. Mm-hmm. So, that was on a Friday. The next Monday, they brought in a woman preacher.
No.
And her name was Clara Grace.
Oh, I remember. Oh, boy.
Bless the Lord.
She wasn't just a woman preacher.
She wasn't just a woman preacher. She's a prophetess.
Yeah.
She was a prophetess. Mm-hmm. And she got up there and she started speaking. That room filled with God. I've listened to the tape later and I hear Brother Hagin say, this is holy ground. This is holy ground. And Clara Grace got up there and she started with a prayer. And I listened to the tape later. Listen to this prayer she prayed. Remember, you're sitting there. Vicki James is sitting there. I'm sitting there. She prayed this prayer. Come, Father, Jesus, manifest thyself tonight and meet the need of hungry hearts who are here, who have come from these distant places. Let thy will be done in every life. So she prayed for us.
Mm-hmm.
The entire message was prophetic. But this stood out. God is preparing a special core of people, a special breed of men and women. He's preparing a special people to do a special thing in the body of Christ. That's why you're here from Minneapolis. That's why you're here from California. That's why you're here from Dallas. That's why. And then she listened to the Lord. What is that, Lord? And she said, oh, it's a gathering of the chiefs of God's army.
Yeah, I was trying to think of what.
Oh, I didn't mean to say that. It's a gathering of the chiefs of the clan. Oh, my. I know you. I know Ken. But back in those days, you've come there in a car that Ken offered to trade for Brother Hagin's tapes, and they wouldn't even take the car because it was, they didn't want it parked outside. And now, here we are.
And we didn't exactly look like chiefs.
We didn't look like chiefs of the clan. You would have had prayer for God.
Yeah.
If you had seen him, seen that group. And she just stepped right out there and prophesied it. Years later, I was working for Brother Hagin. He had me go back and get the tape and listen to what she actually said. That day, I only knew, this is the best sermon I've ever heard because it's so powerful. Mm-hmm. And she's out of order. And then I reasoned in my head, you know, when she gets to the judgment seat of Christ, she'll probably be judged on the level with men who are less faithful. You know, she'll probably be about there.
Yeah, I'm glad you had it figured out.
I figured it out in my head.
I used to have a cassette of that, but I'm not sure I do anymore.
I've got it. And she said, because we were the chiefs of the clan, then she's released to tell this vision. And she told about the night it happened. I'm only going to read you a part of it. We don't have much time. She said, he opened the heavens to me. He rolled them back like great curtains,
as I recall,
like great scrolls. I saw his thin veil. There was only a thin veil between me and the glory, and the glory was behind the veil. She saw faces pressing through from the top on the other side. She saw mature sons of God, women of God, going behind the veil, bringing back the glory. She saw the church just prostrate on the ground. And she saw those two become one in a cloud.
She said amalgamate.
You're right, Glo. Mm-hmm. And went up and down that body, and that body rose up and became the glorious church. Christ. And that was for me a beginning to see that I could preach the gospel. You know, spirit, soul, and body. I learned later. And then I came to work for Brother Hagin in 1970 and worked for him for 10 years. And the first project I was signed to was a book called The Woman Question. And
could women
preach? My goodness, could women preach? Could I preach? Could I obey God and not get in the trouble at the judgment seat of Christ? That's what I always thought. That's what the devil always told me. If you do that, you'll get in trouble at the judgment seat of Christ.
Sounds just like you.
Imagine, preach the gospel and get in trouble. Dear Lord, what foolish thinking we had.
We didn't have any word base.
No. We didn't know about spirit, soul, and body. Besides. No.
Glory to God, we found out.
Glory to God. You got it, girl.
I want a copy of that. I have it somewhere, but I don't know where. Billy and I are going to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for every person listening. I ask you, Lord, to reveal unto every person their next step, whatever it is, in their walk in the Spirit, the next thing that they need to walk through. And the next thing Billy and I need to receive.
Yes, Lord, we trust you for
We're
it
hungry.
Too.
We want to grow. We want to keep going, Lord, and increase in our understanding of spiritual things, and so do the people that are listening. So we pray that the eyes of your heart be flooded with light, that you might know what is the hope of the gospel and what God's got for you. Billy and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.